Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our weekly radio teleconference for December 18th, 2012. This week on the Senate floor, we will...
Now attending.
Scott Grass, Boise State.
All right, this week on the Senate floor, we will be dealing primarily with the consideration of H.R. 1, which is expected to serve as the vehicle to carry the Hurricane Sandy Supplemental Appropriations Bill. There's some conflict developing over that bill. The president has requested a $60 billion emergency appropriation to deal with the Hurricane Sandy cleanup and response. And there's some disagreement about whether all of the monies that he's requesting truly are related to hurricane recovery, or whether he is seeking to get a significant amount of additional spending in order to boost government programs that are related to emergencies, but which are not specifically related to assisting in the Hurricane Sandy cleanup. But the point of all of it is that that type of additional funding should be offset and should not be used as emergency funding, which is spending outside of the budget. And so we'll have some significant budget issues, budget battles in Congress again. And as everyone is very aware, while the Senate and the House deliberate on specific legislative issues, probably the major focus in Washington, D.C. is the negotiation that is going on between President Obama and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner. In the last 24 hours, some progress has been made, although we still do not have an agreement. It's understood that President Obama has continued to insist that about $1.3 trillion in new revenue be provided through tax increases on the wealthy, and that he has agreed to move the income level for that tax increase up to $400,000, although Speaker Boehner has said that he thinks the tax should be applied to those making more than $1 million. So there's still a significant difference between the two. And there are also significant differences on the ratio of tax increases to spending cuts. Right now, the Speaker is seeking a 1-to-1 ratio, meaning a dollar of spending cuts, particularly in terms of entitlement reforms, for every dollar of new tax revenue. The president has continued to say that he does not agree to that kind of a ratio and wants primarily new tax revenue, and he's indicating some agreement on new spending reforms, but clearly not in a 1-to-1 ratio. I personally believe that we need a much greater ratio than 1-to-1. As a matter of fact, the Bowles-Simpson Commission had a 3-to-1 ratio, $3 of spending reform to every dollar of new revenue, and achieved the new revenue by reforming the tax code, broadening the base and reducing the rates and generating greater economic activity rather than through increasing taxes, which I continue to believe is a much, much better approach. At this point, we understand that if the president and the speaker cannot reach an agreement, then...
Now attending.
Boise State Public Radio, Adam Cotterell.
At this point, we understand that if the president and the speaker can't reach an agreement, that the House Republicans are considering passing legislation that deals with the tax issue only and keeps tax rates low for most Americans, protecting everyone making less than $1 million, and that they are also considering focusing on legislation that would call for entitlement reforms and a reform of the tax code next year. As I've said, and I'll conclude with this, I personally believe that it's critical that we achieve the opportunities in the crisis we face. Those opportunities are, I think, at least three big opportunities. One is to reform the tax code rather than just to continue battling over whether to raise or lower tax rates, but reform this code and make America much more competitive. The other is to reform our entitlement system so that we don't have Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security screaming toward insolvency, and build a solvent, an entitlement system that can be perpetually solvent. And then finally, it is to achieve budget reform so that we can create an enforcement mechanism that will keep Congress on the budget that it adopts. Right now, Congress has just about a perfect record of breaking every budget that it has adopted, and frankly, hasn't even adopted a budget in the last 3 years. And we need to reform the budget system, creating strong enforcement mechanisms, as well as to reform the tax code and to reform our entitlement system. With that, let me stop, and I'll go to the participants on the call. And Scott, you are first from Boise State.
It's Adam Cotterell I've taken over.
Oh, Adam. Sorry. Go ahead, Adam.
What do you see coming in terms of gun control, and what are your thoughts on it?
I expect that we will see renewed calls for gun control in light of the tragedy that we had in Connecticut this last Friday. And what I understand the proposal will be, and obviously there can be any number of proposals, but my understanding is that Senator Feinstein has said she's going to bring legislation to ban assault weapons, the assault weapon ban that had been adopted earlier by Congress in the 1990s and has expired. I continue to disagree that increased gun control is going to resolve the issues of violence that we have in our society. The true assault weapons are already banned. The weapons that are probably going to be included in this new proposal are simply the kind of firearms that people who live in states like Idaho and other places where firearms are used for hunting and for self-defense. Those kinds of weapons should not be included in any kind of an assault weapons ban. The problem is not that too many people have firearms. The problem is that we have an epidemic of violence, and I don't believe that the increase in gun control legislation or a weakening of our Second Amendment rights will in any way successfully deal with the violence issue that we are facing in our society.
May I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
What, if anything, then, do you think the Senate should do in response to Friday's tragedy?
Well, my understanding is that, and I don't know in detail how this can be accomplished, but my understanding is that there are significant increased efforts that can be achieved by focusing on mental health issues and issues relating to understanding and predicting violent behavior before it happens, and intervening in these kinds of cases at a stage that would eliminate a lot of the explosive violent circumstances that occurred like last Friday. Again, I don't know the details, but I do think that it would be much more productive for us to focus on mental health and on intervention rather than on gun control. All right, next is Don Wimberly.
Good morning, Senator. Just kind of following up on Adam's train of thought, do you believe that a passage of an assault weapon ban would erode the Second Amendment?
Yes, I do. I believe that the right to bear arms that was reaffirmed by the Supreme Court recently is a very strong and powerful right in the Constitution that's an individual right that individuals hold. And I believe that passage of legislation to prohibit citizens from owning firearms, even in the nature of that legislation, would be an infringement on that right.
Just a quick follow-up then. A number of people who have opposed these kinds of bans in the past seem to be turning around now. Do you think that this Connecticut shooting may be sort of a tipping point, a turning point on this issue?
I don't believe it will. It's hard to say until we see the legislation brought forward in Congress. But again, I think that there are many, many people in the country, and I believe that they remain strong in their beliefs, who believe that the increase of gun control and reducing the ability of law-abiding citizens to have firearms is not going to solve the violence problems.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Next is Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You touched on the mental health aspect. Many years ago, many mental health institutions were closed, which put an awful lot of troubled people out on the streets. And I know with all these budget problems, this is not the time to be talking about money for reopening such places. But do you think there'll be anybody will go in that direction and suggest that?
I do believe it will be suggested, and I, again, don't know the details of whether it would be reopening mental health facilities or whether it would be some other way to focus on mental health issues in the United States. But I do believe the issue will be brought forward. And frankly, as I said, I think that's a much more productive place for Congress and for state legislatures to look rather than to simply try to prohibit law-abiding citizens from having access to ownership of firearms.
I think one of the issues as far as people taking responsibility when they see some danger signs is fear of lawsuits over privacy issues that have also developed over the years, you know, the rights to privacy, preventing people from trying to help. Is it time to address those?
Well, it's certainly time to review them. I think we need to protect privacy issues in our country, and so I would not be one who would advocate a wholesale elimination of protection of privacy in our society. But I think the issue needs to be reviewed. And as I've said, I think that's a much more productive area in the mental health arena and in the intervention arena to look for solutions to these kinds of problems.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next is Jason Ford. Is Jason with us today? All right. And last on my list is George. George Prentice, are you with us? Okay. Is there anybody I've missed? All right. Thank you all for getting on. And I look forward to our conference next week.
All right, Senator. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.